The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Psalm 23. Some of you who have been part of Wellspring for a while now, you might remember that about 4.5 years ago, we did 6 weeks in Psalm 23. We spent a week in each of the 6 verses. We're not going to do that today. We'll cover it, the whole 23rd Psalm this morning. But it's just, again, I wanted to just speak from it once more. It's got such great truth for us. And so hopefully God will speak to all of our hearts. I don't think anybody in the room would disagree with me when I say that life is not always an easy journey. All agreed? The road is not always smooth. The conditions are not always favorable, leaving us often feeling sometimes helpless, at other times even overwhelmed. And I think all of that would clearly say to us that we clearly were not created to do life alone. And so the good news is that we don't have to, right? We do not have to do this life alone. And so the psalm that we're going to be spending time with this morning, Psalm 23, reminds us that we indeed are not alone and that we don't have to do life in our own strength or on our own abilities. And Psalm 23 is going to speak to that issue for us. The chapter heading you've gotten there, you've seen, it says, A Psalm of David, indicates only that David is the author, giving us nothing, however, about the time or occasion of the writing. We don't know what has prompted this 23rd Psalm. Some scholars think that he composed it while he was still just a youth, out there taking care of his father's sheep, his father's flock. However, most commentators believe that David wrote the 23rd Psalm later on in his life, much later in his life. And so if it was written in his later years, David's mind, no doubt, however, would have traveled back to those young days when he was out there taking care and watching over his father's sheep. There before David was ever known in Jerusalem, there before the calling that God had on him to move him into that which God had his purpose for his life, the Lord had given him a wonderful, beautiful, living illustration of his abundant care for his people. I think that David often probably, as we're going to see, it's not hard to imagine that he saw a lot of similarities, a lot of analogies between those sheep that he was taking care of and a lot of people that he knew. Maybe even including himself. Now, in old age, if indeed it is when he has written this psalm, after Goliath, after Saul and the whole Bathsheba ordeal, her husband Uriah, and his sons Abnon and Absalom, David reflects back on his life and more fully at this point understood something of the depth of the Lord's love and care. Now, perhaps you have noticed that the Bible from cover to cover never really compares us to like the strong lion or a ferocious bear or anything like that. As you, most of you probably are aware, the Bible always likens us to what? Sheep. Which are known primarily for what? Yeah. I asked a question like that last night and they said, stupid. I said, I'm glad you said it because I was going to be a little kinder. What I was going to say was they're, well, not so smart ways, okay? Isaiah writes, all we like sheep have gone astray. They go astray, they wander off. They've been known to even wander off cliffs, and others follow them to their destruction. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd call that not so smart. Or like someone just said, dumb. Or like they said last night, stupid. We, like sheep, desperately need a shepherd. You agree? No matter how smart you might think you are, how clever, how wise, how educated, how whatever, everybody on the planet, in comparison to who God is, everybody needs a shepherd. We in this room need desperately a shepherd, one who will care for us, guide us, love us, provide in all the things that we want from this life and in a relationship with him. So the first thing that we notice here in this 23rd Psalm, that we do indeed as followers of Christ, and when we've put our faith and trust in him, we have the Father's, the shepherd's care. And so as we work through this morning, I want you to not miss something very important here. I want you to notice and pay attention, because as we are talking about sheep, we're really talking about us, okay? Because the analogy is going to be there. Some of this you're going to be real familiar with and be able to relate to, in all honesty. But first of all, we notice that in our desperate need for a shepherd, when we give ourselves to him, we do have the shepherd and we do have his care. Look at the first couple of verses with me. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Some of your translations will say, "I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." All right. We're already off to a great start, aren't we? Look at how our shepherd does indeed care for us out of his love for us. The opening verse here establishes the theme for all that follows in this psalm. The Lord, here the Hebrew is Yahweh or Jehovah, we've come across that already, you know what it means, is the shepherd of his people. And can I just add here, he is the greatest shepherd that there could ever be. Agreed? Yeah. The image of the shepherd was very familiar to the people of Israel, especially of old in ancient times. As many of the nation's very own patriarchs, you know, the Abraham, the Moseses, and people like that, had tended sheep. And so it is important for us to understand the ancient role of the shepherd in order for us today in 2019, I almost said 18, understand and fully grasp the deep truths of this psalm. We have to go back and understand it from their perspective and how David intended it to be understood. Shepherds cared for their sheep's every need. They helped them. They helped them give birth, fed them, protected them, guided them, rescued them, and even, when necessary, disciplined them. For all practical purposes, the shepherds lived their lives with the sheep. It is equally important to understand the nature of sheep as well, for us to fully appreciate what is going on and being taught here to us in this psalm. A sheep is, as was stated a moment ago, listen carefully now, all of the things that you and I do not want to be, yet fear that we are, so pretend to be something different. I'm going to say it again because you need to hear it again, just as I do. A sheep is all the things that we do not want to be, yet fear that we are, so therefore pretend to be something different. But when it all comes down to it, we're still just sheep who need a shepherd. Amen? Desperately. One thing is certain about sheep. They are goners if left to themselves. A sheep will literally die if left to themselves. Some of you might recall Matthew chapter 9. It says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had deep compassion on them. And here's what we read in chapter 9, verse 36. They were like sheep without a shepherd, wandering helplessly without protection or care. David confessed that his shepherd was the Lord, as we've seen. His shepherd was a faithful shepherd. And notice this, that David did not say the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is the shepherd. He didn't even say the Lord is our shepherd. Notice the words, the Lord is my shepherd. Makes it very personal. I think one of the reasons that Psalm 23 is as popular and favorite as it is amongst people is because it is so intensely personal. Throughout the psalm, we find pronouns like he and me and you and your and my. It's personal. And so this morning, take it personal. So please lend an ear, would you, this morning? Lend an ear. The Lord would like to have a word with you. Okay? The shepherd's unselfish love for his sheep is seen not only in the fact that he provides for them, but also in the way that he provides for them / us. Green pastures, meadows with newly sprouted grass were not abundant in the land of Palestine. A shepherd had to work tirelessly to find a place where the sheep could be fed. And also notice that David mentions rest here in these verses. He says, my shepherd makes me lie down. What we need to understand and why that's important for us to make note of is because of the nervous nature and often sheer, I'll go ahead and say it since you did. Well, you didn't. They did last night. Stupidity of sheep. They will not always lie down in rest. They could be like dead on their feet, so to speak, tired to the bone, words that we like to use. But if they're nervous about something, afraid about something, they will refuse to rest. Does that sound familiar? Can anybody relate? And so they won't do it. And even I have learned in my preparing this that even if sheep happen to be sleeping and something awakens them, they get up onto their feet because now, once again, they're scared, they're nervous, they're afraid, and they will not go back to sleep. It is at that point that a loving, caring shepherd will get right in amongst them, pick up the nervous one, those who are struggling with fear, pick them up and gently lay them down because they won't do it on their own. Quiet waters, it says here, some of your translations may have the term still waters. It's a good translation. Because this quiet waters, as the NIV translates it, are literally waters that have been stilled. And so when a shepherd is out there in the outdoors and he's got his flock of sheep with him, and if he can't find a still body of water, like a little pond or a lake, but he's at a stream or maybe a lake and it's flowing, it's moving, he doesn't even have to be moving fast. I have learned that that also scares sheep, makes them nervous. And you know what? Talk about not being so smart. they tell me, is what I discovered here, that a sheep, because of their fear, because the water is moving like it is, will just stand there. They can be thirsty, desperately in need of hydration, but they will just stand there and stare at it. Now, that's not real smart. They will just stand there and stare at it. So once again, the loving, caring shepherd will get and find, work hard, gather up a bunch of rocks and a bunch of stones and create a dam so that the waters will stop flowing just so the sheep can drink. Our ultimate rest, our ultimate refreshment, church, can only be found in our shepherd. It's not in what this world has to offer, only in Jesus. Let's look at the next couple of verses. Verses 3 and 4, he says, he refreshes my soul. Some of yours may say, he restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths. Some of yours may say, paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. I love that we sang the songs that we sang this morning with regards to his name's sake. His name is greater than all other names, right? And so as we were singing that, I'll just be honest with you, I was thinking, it's a great name. And I began to think of names in our world right now that are considered great. Greatness have been attached to these names. Tom Brady, LeBron James, you can name some others. They don't even come close to the great name of our Jesus. A little louder. Amen. Yeah. Who compares to him? And so as a former shepherd, keeping watch over flocks in the wilderness, David understood the nature of sheep. And he understood, as he understands his shepherd, his good and faithful shepherd who provides care, he also learns that the shepherd is one who restores, who refreshes, as we've seen here in verses 3 and 4. David understood the nature of sheep, including their very bad habit of wandering off. Once again, some of you are going to be able to relate. When one is attracted to a clump of grass, there they are in the flock, and they kind of look over to the left or to the right and go, oh, what's that? And off they go, leaving the flock. You know what's sad, too, is oftentimes and usually the case, others will follow. And they see something over here or something over there, and off they go. The problem is that the sun will go down, nightfall will come, and when they've got out there and they've gotten separated from the flock, there are wolves, there are predators out there who are hungry and just looking for a little mutton supper. I can just hear them speaking to one another. Honey, what's for dinner tonight? Well, it looks like it's going to be sheep on the Barbie. And so the good shepherd, he calls out to them. Realizing that some of them have wandered off and missing, he goes looking. What is he doing? He's gone out to bring back, to restore. And he calls them by name. He brings them back. Verse 3 begins with, he refreshes my soul, or as some of yours may have, restores my soul. This is actually truly about restoration. Aren't you glad? How many of you here are glad that in your times when you wandered, that you had a God who pursued you? Who came after you because he loves you too much to just say, their loss. He loves you too much to allow that to happen. And so his heart is to restore us, to refresh us, to bring us back. The term is actually based upon the idea, hear this now, of repentance. And repentance in its true form is what? A turning back, isn't it? Only it's not accomplished, we notice here, it's not done and accomplished by the sheep. It is accomplished by the shepherd. Occasionally, as I said, sheep will get into the habit of wandering off again and again, and the shepherd looking to restore will go. And if it continues, the shepherd, and we talked about this 4.5 years ago when we went through this 23rd Psalm, the shepherd, because he cares and because he loves and knows that this sheep isn't smart enough that he's getting himself into trouble, possible destruction, will break the leg of a sheep. And then in a loving, gentle way, will splint that leg and take that sheep up and carry it on its shoulders. And then hopefully, during this season of restoration, this time of healing, this time of the brokenness being healed, certainly you're catching the analogies here, church. The sheep learns not to wander off and to depend completely upon his faithful shepherd. We notice that verse 3 also promises guidance. The last part of verse 3 literally means, he guides me in the right tracks. I think that is so cool. For, again, his name's sake. The Palestinian shepherd was a master, I learned, at reading tracks. The rugged terrain of Palestine had no shortage of tracks. Some were made by dangerous wild animals, others by robbers lying in wait. To the not-so-smart sheep, they all looked alike. They all looked good. It's kind of like, hey, here's the path, let's just take it. Not knowing that one of two things, either that path is going to lead them nowhere or will lead them to destruction. The sheep were wise to follow only their shepherd because he knew which were the right tracks. And of course, we're talking about those right tracks being the tracks of righteousness, the path of righteousness, God's way and not our way. His way leads to life, amen, and not destruction. This is why the shepherd is always out front leading the sheep and not behind them driving them. Now we notice in verse 4 that the tone kind of changes, but the shepherd doesn't. From the grasslands and the streams of water that we find in verses 2 and 3, we are taken down into the darkest valley. Or as, again, some of yours reads, the valley of the shadow of death. How does this tie in with verse 3? Well, remember that verse 3 promises that our shepherd leads us. Isn't that what we just saw and learned? Our shepherd leads us in right tracks. And so here in verse 4, it is simply saying that one of these right tracks winds along the steep downward valley below. Unfortunately, as much as we would prefer it, our life isn't always spent on the mountaintop, is it? Because as we started this morning, sometimes life is not an easy journey. Sometimes the way isn't always smooth. In the Old Testament, a valley, and we need to understand this, as we who live in the Grand Valley, we think of wide open spaces. In the Old Testament, in Palestine, not the case. The valley was a deep ravine or a gorge. It was narrow. It was dark. It was damp and usually enclosed by steep stone walls, making it virtually inescapable. Valleys were frequently located at the foot of towering cliffs, and they were extremely dangerous in these valleys. Snakes, wild predator-type animals that we've mentioned, and even criminals that would be hiding in its darkness would be found in these places. Since grass grows in Palestine during a very short season, shepherds struggled to find their flocks the rest of the year feed for them. Often it became necessary then to lead their sheep into valleys where green plants grew in the cool, damp soil down at the bottom of these ravines and gorges. And also passing through these valleys became necessary at times in order to get through to the other side where there would be green meadows once again. David testified that he was not afraid to walk through life's darkest valley, through the valley of the shadow of death. Although he in himself, I think, realizes in himself is defenseless, even though he's killed a giant, even though he's killed bear and he's killed lion, in himself he recognizes where that ability came and who actually did that for him. His great shepherd. And so in himself, he realizes he's defenseless, but he's not afraid. And he's not afraid because he knows he's not alone in that situation, in that present danger. His shepherd was with him. David was comforted. Turn from the fear and from the terror and from possible anxiety because his shepherd was skillfully armed, as it says here, with his rod and staff. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Well, let's just briefly talk about this rod and this staff. The rod was basically a club that a shepherd would carry. I learned that even some of these ancient shepherds would put one end of this club and fix it up with sharp, jagged edges. And so this club really became a weapon that could do some serious damage. And then there was the staff. This was not a weapon. It was the tool of the shepherd. And they would use that for various reasons and helping guide the sheep along. It had a crook on one end of it. They could grab one and bring it back if it's stuck in the bushes or getting ready to go off a cliff, whatever the case might be. As God's sheep, us, we sometimes find ourselves in the darkest valley. Yeah? Where there's fear, where we are tempted to be overcome with danger, uncertainty, unexpected, the unexpected, and yes, even death. He knows, our God knows, that the only way we can reach the higher places of faith and a maturity in Him is not on the playground of prosperity, but in the schoolroom of adversity. It is in those dark, narrow, uncomfortable valleys that you and I do not like. And often, let's be honest, do our dead level best to avoid. It is in those places that we learn volumes about the shepherd who loves and cares for us. Perhaps this is what the writer to the Hebrews had in mind when he writes in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The next thing we see here as we move along in our 23rd Psalm, that the shepherd not only cares for us, not only restores and refreshes, the shepherd provides and secures our future in him as well. Look, verse 5 and 6 with me. It says, "You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." While the setting has shifted, David still has the shepherd-sheep analogy in mind. A man by the name of Charles W. Sleming has done some remarkable work with regards to shepherds in the Middle East. And with regards to this fifth verse, he has shared some really insightful things for us. He lets us know that a shepherd, when moving into a new area where there's new grass, before he releases the flock into that new meadow, he first goes into it and inspects it. What's he looking for? He is looking for little holes in the ground where vipers hang out, adders, who love to, when sheep come in, come up out of their holes, nip at the noses of the sheep, which causes some really horrible inflammation and even possibly death. So the shepherd walks up and down through that new area looking for those holes. And when he finds one, he has with him a particular oil. And he pours some of that oil over and into that hole that he has found. And once he believes he's got them all covered and he's got it taken care of, he goes to the sheep and takes that same oil and covers their head with it. David says, "He anoints my head with oil." And so then he releases the sheep, and they're out there grazing and having fun, eating and chewing and hopefully appreciative of what the shepherd has done. Even if a snake tries to come out when it senses that sheep are there, they can't get out of their holes because their slippery bodies can't get out over the oil that has been put there. They become trapped and imprisoned in their own holes. But even if one gets out and attempts to go after a sheep, the oil that has been spread on its head becomes a bit of a repellent, driving the snake away. Therefore, the analogy that he brings that is so rich, he says, at that point, the shepherd has prepared the table in the presence of the enemy. We have a good, great shepherd, don't we? And it's exactly what he has done for us. The whole snake, serpent, viper analogy, I think I don't have to bring any clarification to you on that with regards to our enemy. Also in Scripture, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Samuel had anointed David with oil when he identified him as the future king of Israel. And the Lord had preserved and had empowered David with his spirit in order to fulfill the purpose and calling that God had on his life. And so is it any wonder that David says his cup overflows? Overflow not only with the provisions that he needed through the course of his life, but also with confidence and joy and the love that the Lord had imparted and given to him in his life, his entire life. Having reflected on the Lord's faithful care throughout his life, he then considers his future. In every circumstance, God's goodness have flowed out to him. In battle, false accusations, his life as a fugitive, the death of his own child, the heart-rending problems within his very own family, even in David's time of horrific sin, adultery and murder, God displayed his goodness to him. And what's important for us to understand at this point is I don't believe David, he never took that as license to go do as he pleased. David never understood that as, oh, because God is so good and he's just going to keep being good to me, I can just do whatever I want to do. That was not David's thinking. Actually, David understood because his shepherd was faithful. It was simply because it was God displaying his character. It was God letting David know, this is who I am. This is who I want you to be. People of character, integrity, walking the right path. The path I've set before you and not your own. The Lord had proven true to his character and to his word. David anticipated, because of that, God's goodness to continue throughout his life. And so can you. Because by faith he knew that God would unfailingly be true, as we sang this morning, to his great name. There is no magnet with a stronger pull than genuine love. Love has drawn back, I think, more wanderers and has softened more hardened hearts than this world will ever know. It is fitting then that, like David, you and I recognize that we are followed all the days of our lives by goodness and loving kindness, as David has written. Mark it down, church. God knows how to deal with his sheep. More specifically, he knows how to deal with you, with me. His dealings follow you all the days of your life. He is the good shepherd, and you can rely and put your complete trust in him for your life. You really can. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we need to understand he's not so much referring to a place, the temple, as much as he is referring to the presence of a person. Notice how the psalm begins and how it ends. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in his house forever. David's Hebrew poetic way of saying, and I will remain gladly in his presence forever. Not wandering off, not doing my thing, but right here with you, God, is the best place to be. It was a young pastor at the age of 22. The year was 1757. His name was Robert Robinson. He wrote these words. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. How wonderful to be one of his sheep. Why would anyone not want to be in his flock? Why would anyone choose to wander aimlessly through life unprotected, unguided, uncared for? Why would anyone refuse to choose him and the wonderful privilege of living with him in his presence forever and ever and ever? Let that not be you. Just be one of his woolly little sheep, fully devoted, committed, surrendered to him. Father, we thank you for this 23rd Psalm. We thank you for the truths and principles it contains for us. And God, we want to say thank you for being our good, great shepherd who provides care, provides love, restores, refreshes, rescues, and secures our future in you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to lose the whole prone to wander thing, and may we come to your house, to your presence, and remain there for the rest of our days. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflife.com.